You're listening to STP Radio.
Welcome back to STP Radio. I am your host, Mike Lyles, and I am so excited to conduct another interview with one of our upcoming speakers at our Spring 2017 STPCon conference. In case you've not signed up yet, STPCon will be in Phoenix, Arizona from March the 14th through the 17th this year. And if you reach out to me, I can share a discount code for your registration. Be sure to check out stpcon.com where you can learn more about the conference, the speakers, our special events, and our conference pricing. You can also follow us on Twitter and Instagram. Look for @SoftwareTestPro on both of these social networks. So let's meet our guest for today. Today we have Rajesh Mathur. Rajesh is currently the head of testing at an Australian federal regulatory agency based in Melbourne, Australia. He is an international speaker, blogger, and writer. He's spoken at various conferences, and he's written many articles that have been featured in numerous international publications and blogs. He's a dedicated context-driven tester, and he believes less in dogmatism and more in pragmatism of testing. He's held many positions all over the world, working in the U.S., U.K., India, Australia, and China. He is the founder of the meetup group TEAM, T-E-A-M, in Melbourne. He's the founder of the Hong Kong and China Software Testing Group in Hong Kong, and the founder and organizer of the Australian Testing Days and Quality Software Australia conferences. Welcome to the STP Radio Show, Rajesh.
Thank you very much, Mike, and I'm glad to be here.
Thank you so much. It's great to have you with us. Can you tell us a little more about how you got into testing and a little bit about yourself?
That's usually a very broad question and the hardest that I can answer. But how I got into testing, I've been in the industry for more than 20 years now. I think it's 22 years or something. And I don't exactly remember how I got into testing. I think the transition was so smooth for me that I didn't really feel it. So I was a developer initially. I started developing and I think I started with Pascal or something and Fortrans. And then I was working on some web designing projects initially. And then I think I was working for this particular company where they needed some help in testing. And I raised my hand up. And since then, I've been in testing. I think it was somewhere around 2002 or somewhere around year 2000. So yeah, 16, 17 years in testing. And since then, I have been in testing because it's a challenging field. You need cognition for doing good testing. And so this is how I got into testing. And since then, I have been here.
Well, you touched on a nerve with me with Pascal. Most of the people that I talk to in the testing world are too young to understand that Pascal was my first language as well. And I can relate. I love that language and really loved working in that language. But as you mentioned, testing kind of became my passion as well. And it just happened. It was a lot of people talk about transitioning from one position to the other, but I think I was just like you. I just knew I was going to be a tester after getting in that mode. And then it just one day I'm like, hey, I'm testing and I love it. And I have been loving it ever since.
Well, look, those were the days when a tester's job was not really highly regarded. I'm talking about 20 years ago. Often people were thrown into testing. And I think a big challenge for testers was to gain respect among developers because testers, they were doing more data crunching and ticking in the box kind of exercises that time, like many of those do it today as well. So one could get respect of developers only if he or she knew what they were doing or if you were a subject matter expert and if you find serious bugs, because testing wasn't really a separate field those days. And I, from where I'm coming from, I think communication was another challenge. And relationship between developers and tester was them versus us. Yeah, I don't see that happening today. Teams are more self-organized. Teams are more collaborated. So things have changed for in a positive direction. So yeah, hopefully things will be better.
Well, I want to make sure that the audience knows that we have a celebrity on our hands. I did learn that you were on a TV show in a singing contest. Now, I have to ask, was this American Idol? Was this Indian Idol? You've been all over the world. So did you win? How did that go?
Well, look, I had my first radio appearance when I was around 8. So one of the neighbors, she used to work at the radio station, and she used to hear me doing things like any other 8-year-old kid. So I was jumping around and doing things, or singing, or copying. And so she said to my dad, why don't you bring him to the radio station someday? So my dad took me to the radio station, and I gave my first radio appearance then. And that was the time then when I also gave a stage performance. And so around 8 or 9 years of age. When I was in college, I joined radio as a part-time job. So I did some work on radio as an announcer. So if I say something in my radio voice, that would be, welcome to STPCon Radio. You're listening to 9 a.m. show. Yeah. Come back again tomorrow to hear more. And don't forget to join us at STPCon Radio.
Absolutely. Well, we may have to have you be a co-host for some time and bring you on board to do some of our hosting at the conference when we're going around to the different folks doing the social event and getting their feedback for the conference. We could definitely use your voice for that. So speaking at a conference then is not anything new to you. Like you said, you've been doing this since you were 8 years old. You got your first solo stage appearance. And what do you feel through the years? I'm sure you've learned along the way, and I learned it very quickly in my first speaking opportunities that I had years ago, was that what are your elements of keeping the attention of the people? And what do you feel that testing conference attendees want to hear when they attend conferences?
Well, one thing that I noticed is a lot of new speakers, they don't really practice. They don't learn the art of speaking, because this is an art. Keeping audiences' attention is an art. So you have to say something that they like. You have to keep them engaged through anecdotes, through stories, and conference presentations are always storytelling. So if you don't have a story, you won't be able to keep the attention of the attendees. So that is one thing. Another one is good content. Third one is, if you're talking about technical, if it is a technical workshop or technical session, you should have content which is technical in nature and not just very specific to your own context. Sometimes it is very specific, but then you have to make sure that audience understand that, and then they can relate to it.
I completely agree. And I think you made a great point. I think what I see with a lot of folks is if I'm going to a conference, that's a special thing for me. It's not, I can listen to a webinar if I just want to be taught something. I can listen to, I can go to a local meetup or something if I want to hear specific things that are technical and very serious. Conferences tend to be, you know, that's my, you know, let my hair down, let myself really understand what's going on out there in the world. Hear some case studies. Learn from some people and really get some input that I can take back with me and use immediately in my in my organization.
And if I'm not wrong, then a lot of managers want their people who attend the conferences come back and tell others what they learned at the conference.
Absolutely.
And it is good for everyone, because then if you have this slight pressure of learning and then slight pressure of telling people when you go back, then obviously this helps you as well.
Yes. So that takes me to my next point, and that is, you have a workshop that's called What Seems to Be the Problem Tester, which always makes me think of my childhood driving and the early years of my driving ages when I would get pulled over by a policeman and I would say, what seems to be the problem, officer? Your title is What Seems to Be the Problem Tester, Identifying Problems and Providing Electrifying Solutions. Now, this workshop discusses the value of a respected test team and how test managers and teams can earn and keep respect. We know that if we're working in an organization, many times you have that issue within your own peers and your organization, the testing group itself. But lots of times you'll be able to overcome that and get in one mind and one accord there. But it's a struggle sometimes to get your stakeholders or your clients to get that respect. Earning the respect is one thing. Keeping that respect and driving that respect is another. So I'm really interested. I think a lot of folks are going to want to hear what you have to say in this workshop. And I'd love to hear your inputs on what is going to be your goal for this workshop and what are you hoping to share with the audience?
Look, as you mentioned earlier, I've been worked and lived and trained in different countries. So and that's one thing that I like as well. So I like to learn about cultures and because of that, I also traveled to many other countries. So, you know, I've traveled to almost all continents, and I learned culture not because I just wanted to visit those places. It's because I wanted to learn about the cultures there. And what I used to do was just to meander around the streets and eat local food and talk to people and learn some words. And I, when I relate that to my career in testing, I see that a lot of testing teams, they don't understand the culture of their groups or their organizations. They don't relate themselves to the mission or the vision of the organizations. And in other words, they don't understand what the problem is. Or, as Jerry Weinberg says, is there a problem here? Mm-hmm. So I'm a big Jerry Weinberg fan, and I've read almost all books of Jerry. If you read, there is one particular book called Are You Lights On? And Jerry talks about the problems there. Yeah.
Great.
Yeah. And this workshop basically starts with Are Your Lights On? And it talks about, is there a problem? What are the problems? If there's a group of testers that are trying to assist their company, whether they understand what is going on in the company and the group, what is the vision of the group, and are they able to provide support to them? I have been in organizations where testing team was doing something completely different than the rest of the group was trying to do. And testing team was very rigid in their processes. And they always say, this is the only way that we know, and this is how we will do. You change your way. But if you look at the context-driven testing principles, one of the principles is that we, as testers, we serve to the projects. Yeah, on our own, we are nothing, basically. So we serve to the project, so we have to align our strengths or our visions or our objectives to the wider group's objectives. And in this workshop, this is what I'm going to talk about. This is what I'm going to tell people, that one is, what are the problems? How do you identify problems? If you can, how do you propose a solution? Then if you can align your own frameworks with the wider group's frameworks. So in all, I would say that this is basically, this workshop is basically more suitable for people who are working in enterprise groups or even individuals who are working in different projects at different times. So I think it's going to be a very useful workshop for many people.
I agree. You mentioned that you were a part-time radio announcer in college, and we've heard this radio voice now already. And I love talking to large
Thank
crowds.
You.
And the part that I love the most about talking to large crowds is I love the reactions. I love watching a group of people get it, and it makes me feel like, hey, I've done something good today. I see them getting what I'm saying. And when I bring out more statements or I can gauge from the crowd, I see some sour looks and some negative looks, and maybe I should try to change my story. And a lot of times I've changed directions during my speaking based on the fact that I see people going, I don't get this. I don't know where he's going. So I'll add some clarification, but there's a challenge when you're doing webinars, you're doing broadcast, you're talking on the radio, you don't see those faces. I realized in my first webinar, what am I going to do? Because I'm used to gauging my excitement and my changes and my tone and the way that I talk to the crowd based on watching them react, you know, and it felt like I'm talking to a computer screen and looking at my slides. So my question for you is, how do you overcome and ensure that you're getting your message across, whether you're on a webinar? I mean, I'd love to hear how you do that and how you've done that in the past with your webinars and broadcasts, but also when you're talking to a crowd of people and trying to share your message to them.
Look, I already have this feeling that people would like this interview because we are keeping it so lively and it is funny and we are laughing and we are sharing our experiences and you're asking questions that others are interested in. And that's the trick, that yes, you need to talk something or you need to talk in a way that people understand. So getting the message across, whether it is radio or whether it is a webinar or a conference or in a conference room or in a one-to-one session with a manager or a junior, it's about making sure that they understand what you are saying. So and you're saying something that is agreeable. It is about agreement. Yeah, if someone doesn't really want to understand you or someone doesn't really want to listen to you, they won't. It is like a stand-up comedy. Yeah. Sometimes you don't really laugh at the jokes because you didn't get the joke, but the comedian is thinking that you got the joke. That reminds me of another book of Jerry, which is on feedback. What is called? Do you remember the book, Stein, that is taking and receiving feedback?
Right.
So that book. Yeah. I remember. It's called What Did You Say? The Art of Giving and Receiving Feedback.
Yeah.
And it's a fantastic book. And I tell people to read this because Jerry says that feedback is not just one way. You're not just giving feedback. You're offering it. So you offer feedback, you don't give it, and that's what happens when you talk to people in a workshop or a conference or a webinar. You need to talk about something that people like to hear and then that they have interest in, and if you're keeping it interactive and interesting for people.
I read a quote not long ago that said, "You need to learn how to stop talking before your audience stops listening." And if you're going to keep talking, you've got to give them something they can listen to. And yeah. I think that's been something I've been trying to relay. Lots of times I'll go longer in my presentations. I'll give them a little more than what they asked for or what they feel they signed up for, only if I feel they're still excited and they're still engaged. And I think at our conferences, we've got a lot of exercises in our workshops. We've got a lot of opportunities for folks to get hands-on, to work together. People love that I, from what I've seen, folks love to be part of a group exercise. We give contests where folks during the workshops have to complete and they're competing with other people in the room. I think you give them something engaging other than sitting there in a workshop for 4 hours with nothing to do. They're going to get engaged and give their inputs. And some of the best things I've learned and being a manager, a leader, and a speaker and a teacher, all of those things, I've learned more from the people I'm teaching and leading than I've felt that I've given them. And it's always, like you said, it's a give and take. But you, if you set yourself up to be a servant leader and you give them something that you expect that you're going to learn something in the process, I think it's really successful for a team.
Yep, it is. Yeah, I agree.
So that takes me to our session about technical skills are important. Human skills are critical. Lessons for excelling as a tester. Now, I think, I know from my own personal experiences in the last several years, I think that we live in a world where companies that used to, I worked for a company once that said, we've been in business for 67 years and we've never had one layoff. And they laid off 2,400 people last month.
Oh, and boy.
I wasn't in that company at the time, but I see that all over the place. Companies are getting less and less tight in keeping their people there. The bigger companies feel that they can release and add back when they need. And people are getting, I don't want to say scared, but in the world today, you can't depend on being somewhere for 20 and 30 years anymore like we used to. You're at risk. And when people start thinking about that, they start wondering, well, how do I get the next job? What do I do if I'm out of a job? How do I get myself up there and make myself present to somebody so that they say, I want that guy, he's available? Or if they're still in a job, a lot of people are unhappy and they're saying, I'm miserable, I want to leave. They want to find some new company to work for, but they don't know how to leave. And I think you see a lot of people stay in places. It's like, let's stay in this misery for several more years, because I don't know what to do to get out of here. And I don't seem to be able to market myself. And this session is outstanding. I think it's going to be good. It's talking to, and I'll let you speak to this. People want to know, you know, what is my magic statement in my resume that's going to make me get recognized? People talk about, do I need a cover page? Do I need a big heading at the top? What should I do? And I think you're going to give some studies on what you've seen that gets people the next job or gets them noticed and recognized. So tell us a little bit about this.
It's not just about people's resume. It's about their personalities. It's about their, as I call them, human skills. Since I came to Australia, I've been seeing this specific pattern that people keep contacting me, telling me about their not next job opportunities, asking me about if I had any jobs for them. And my recent experience was when I was looking for some testers, I got, for two positions, I got nearly 120 CVs, or as you call them in America, resumes. All of these resumes look very similar, and you can't really judge them just looking at the resume. Yeah. And this is the trouble that I think are most of the recruiters and hiring managers are also facing. Internal HR departments are also face a similar position, a similar situation, that they get hundreds and hundreds of resumes for one position. Now, there is a problem that I see. So first I asked myself, is there a problem here? When I was looking for people, then I faced this problem. So I said, yes, there is a problem here. Now, what is the problem? Testers are creating CVs which don't, or resumes which don't really make sense. They are not telling a story. They are just copying their technical skills there, and they're sending them to the recruitment agencies or the job to the job postings. Now, when I faced this problem, I asked some of the recruiter friends as well. They had the similar problems. My own HR person, the internal recruiter, he had the same problem. So when I interviewed some of the people, I asked their internal recruiter, and we shortlisted some of the resumes. We interviewed some of the people, and I was really disappointed that these people were not really what they looked in their resumes. So what they looked like in the CVs or resumes was very different to the real life. They couldn't even speak. They couldn't communicate. They couldn't tell me what they were able to do for me.
Yeah.
And that made me think something is certainly wrong there. And that is when I decided to submit my paper for the conference. This is the proposal that we're talking about. So this session is going to talk about more soft skills, human skills, what to do so that you don't have to look for jobs. Jobs come to you. And it's a great situation to be in if you don't go for a job and someone comes to you and says, hey, Rajesh, I got a job for you. Would you like to join? And this has happened in the last 10 years, three times, three different countries. And I did not have to look for a job. I was lucky, but there was something that I did, I think, will be useful for others as well. And this is what I'm going to tell people in this session. And I think it is going to be really good for people to talk to me in this session, because it's just a personal experience, but I think it's going to be useful for anyone who's either looking for a job or thinking of changing job, or not just about job, but just want to become better in their skills.
Well, you know, there's people who want to stay in a company for many, many years, and they want to grow in that company, and they sit in the same position for year after year after year.
Yes.
And if they can learn how to sell themselves, that I have a book called The Art of Brag, The Art of Tooting Your Own Horn Without Blowing It. And the thing is, how far can you go by showing, here's what I do, here's what I'm capable of, without sounding like you're patting yourself on your own back and saying, everybody look at me. And I think some people go too far. We know those people. And then some people don't do enough. And you have to be, as a leader working with that team, being able to, to raise the flag for your team. There is so much to be learned from this. And I think when I start looking at folks and looking at resumes of folks that I've interviewed, I had a director a long time ago when I was a manager, just starting as a manager, taught me the best way to interview people. He said, I look at their resume, I ask a couple of questions to make sure they're not lying on the resume, and then I spend the rest of that time speaking to them about them, their personality, how do they work with people, how would they do this job. I give them real life scenarios, and I find out how they work, because I can teach them the skills of the job. I don't need to know that you're a developer or you're a tester. I mean, yeah, it would be good that you kind of understand that, of course. I mean, that's common sense. But I want to know, can you work with three other people? Can you work in a situation where the stress is coming down on you and we got to get this out in 2 days and you got to do rapid testing or you got to do quick changes or you got to turn on a dime and go the other direction? I think that is the kind of people that we want to put on our teams.
And absolutely.
To the organization or hiring people and say, oh, this guy's got 20 years, he's awesome. Or this guy's got 5 years and he's been doing this type of work or these type of tools. And I think we're struggling because we're looking too much at those technical things sometimes. And I think organizations are starting to do what you're saying. And I think that's why it's becoming a struggle. When I see people being laid off and losing their jobs and looking for new jobs and struggling to get back in that job, it's what do you need to tell and who do you need to know to get yourself out there? And I think that's going to be the biggest thing. Another thing that I suggest, and people listening to this are STPCon people and they're conference people, and they're at least they're interested in conferences. I say to people, I was scared the first time I stepped out and spoke at a conference many years ago. And when I wrote my first article, and I had spoken everywhere, I was not afraid or ashamed or shy to do that. But I think getting out there and knowing people, having those connections, and I know 20 people in testing, or I know some of the big names in testing, or I know some people who have really had those experiences and been through the head-to-head battles in the world. I think that helps. And a lot of groups that I've worked in the past, you talk to people. Do you know this guy? Do you know this lady? Do you know this person that's in testing? And they say, I've never heard of that person. And I want to fall on the floor because I'm like, what are you doing in your after hours and your free time to build your craft and make yourself a better tester or a better, technical person?
Yeah. Well, look, I think what you mentioned is really important, building your craft. So it's not just about building testing as a craft, but building your own skills as a craft is also important. And that's something that people often forget. Yeah. They just work on their technical skills, and they say half the people you meet, they would say, hey, I'm really good at Selenium, and I'm really good at MySQL, and I am really good at Oracle, and I'm really good at Java. Yeah, that's okay, but there are 5 million people who are looking for same jobs, and they are good at those as well. How do you differentiate yourself? And that is important.
And the thing I want to share with people is Michael Phelps won 18 gold medals, and he's won more gold than anybody on the planet. But the thing you don't see is Michael Phelps just doesn't do swimming those 3 months of a year. We don't see the practicing that he's doing every single day and the time he's spending in the pool and the time he's going lapping back and forth. If you want to be a leader in your industry, you need to study, practice every day. You don't have to just test or
That's really important. Yeah. Practice is very important.
True.
And people forget that.
Oh, it's so true. And the world is changing so much. I think the problem we're seeing right now is things are changing. We're not, 30 years ago, we didn't even have the internet or mobile. The world is changing. What's coming next? We need to be prepared for that. And we need to continue to keep ourselves up to date as we move forward.
That's true.
So Rajesh, I'm sure you've seen this awesome program lineup. I've been with STP for 5-6 years now, and if I've not seen, honestly, and I do say this every time, but it does get better every time. This to me is the best STP program I think we've put together in a very long time. We've got people from all over the planet. We've got people coming from different countries, different cultures, different types of backgrounds and experiences. And my question for you is, as you look over the keynotes and the sessions and the workshops and some of the other speakers and presentations that are going to be there, are there some that stand out to you and that interest you that make you want to say, hey, I want to make sure I attend this one? And what do you want to take away?
I do. And I was going to, before you ask this question to me, I was going to say that, you know what, I also want to attend some of the other stuff, but good that you asked me. My friend Damien Sinadinos is is delivering some workshop and I think session as well. So I really want to attend his workshop. That's on improving your requirements.
Yes.
So, and then obviously I wanted to attend your session. Well, I think I'm attending your panel discussion. I don't know, but
right.
I want to attend your session. Well, do you have that session in? Yes, the drive-through. Yeah, the drive-through is not always faster. Yeah, rethinking your testing practice. So I want to attend that. And another one is the Damien Sinadino's workshop. Damien is a great guy. I like him a lot. He has done similar things that I have done. So he has been on theater, and I think he got a radio voice as well. So in this workshop, he's going to talk about those skills and how to apply those skills in improving the work, in improving the requirements. So I really want to attend that one and yours, the drive-through one.
Well, hey, those are two very, very good picks, I have to say, even for the one with mine. And I, Damien.
Yeah, please, you're praising yourself, nice.
Hey, yeah. That's right, man. I'm taking it to the edge. And I tell you, Damien, he definitely learned the art of improv. I saw him speak the first time. Now, you meet him and talk to him. He's a very nice guy, very, very fun to talk to, very, very entertaining and engaging. But when he got on the stage, he was acting. And it was not just, old style acting. He was really engaging the group. He got high remarks from everybody. And he is just so entertaining. We didn't have him in Dallas last time, and we missed him, and we reached out to him and said, come on, are you coming back? Because he does such a great job. It's going to be so awesome to have him there with us. You're going to love his presentations. He's done the improving, which is a spoof on improv and improving together, and you're going to love it. And then thanks for the plug for mine. I did this as a keynote in Dallas, and I've added some new material to it. For this session I'm doing on the drive-thru is not always faster. And it's really a compilation of 40 different people that I reached out to in the testing world, very well-known folks, got their inputs. And my underlying story there is you're not alone. You're not going through problems in your organization that others haven't dealt with. And how can we share the pain and share the resolution to it as well. So it's been a really exciting, it was an exciting keynote, and I'm really looking forward to doing it as a session and getting the group there for that as well. So Rajesh, I have one final question for you to answer.
Right.
This is your first time at STP, and we're so happy, STPCon, and we're so happy that you're with us. What are your expectations, and what do you hope to accomplish while you're there?
So my expectation, for first expectation, is that you pay me on time for my travel. But I'm just joking, man. well, that's one expectation. But another one is, which is more important, is look, when you guys approached me for the session and workshop and all, I was really excited, and I have been looking at STPCon and a few other conferences in the States, and I've never been to States for a speaking engagement. And otherwise, I have spoken in many other countries, including Europe and Australia and India and all other, like Hong Kong and all other places. But I was really happy. And when it was for STPCon, and I told myself, I said, woohoo, this is great. I'm going to STPCon. It's a great conference. I like it. And there's always really good speakers. So my expectation is attending great speeches, talks, sessions, and workshops, and meeting more people who I know through either Twitter or LinkedIn or through my writings or their writings and blogs and all. So I'm really excited to attend STPCon and meet those people, listen to the talks, learn new techniques, tricks, approaches, improve my skills, and come back with some great stuff. I'm excited, you can say.
Well, we're very excited to have you with us as well. And Rajesh, thank you so much for your time today. We're really looking forward to seeing you in Phoenix in March. And thank you again for being with us on the radio show.
My pleasure, sir, and thank you very much for interviewing me, and I will see you in Phoenix soon.
Well, Rajesh, thank you so much for your time today. We're really looking forward to seeing you in Phoenix next month.
Thanks, Mike. And I'm also very excited to see you guys, and I will see you in Phoenix next month. Before you finish, I would say it in my radio voice, thank you for joining us at STPCon, and see you soon in Phoenix, Arizona in March.
Folks, this concludes our next episode of STP Radio. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Please stay tuned for more episodes.
Thanks
coming
for listening
soon.
To this episode of STP Radio. And stay tuned for more
Get
episodes.
Out there, register,
learn more
and
about
we'll
the conference being
March
held in Phoenix, Arizona, March 14th through 17th by visiting stpcon.com.